Welcome to the Future of Education podcast. Here's our host, the co-founder of 2-Hour Learning, Mackenzie Price.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Future of Education. I'm your host, Mackenzie Price. Joining me today is Jean Eddy. She is the CEO of American Student Assistance. They are an education nonprofit that believes all students should have equitable access to career readiness learning starting in middle school. And today, Jean and I are going to discuss crisis-proofing and preparing kids for future jobs. I'll tell you what, as a parent, I know that is what we care about. Are our kids going to go be successful in the future? Are they getting those skills that they need now in order to excel later on? Here's my conversation with Jean Eddy, the CEO of American Student Assistance. Hi, Jean. How are you today?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. Well, I'm really excited to talk to you because I certainly love the idea of getting kids ready. Tell me about what your organization does. Like, how does it work, and where would parents have maybe interacted with you?
Well, I think they could have interacted with us in a number of ways. And I think more than likely, their sons or daughters have been interacting with us. I think we are absolutely known for reaching out to kids where they are, and that's on their mobile devices. So we have many digital experiences that allows kids to help them figure out what they love to do, what they're good at, and be able to take those two things together and go out and look to see what are the opportunities that they have in the career space. And certainly there are lots of them. And we do start with kids in middle school. And the reason why we do that is because in middle school, kids are just now starting to figure out, okay, what are the classes I want to take in high school? What are the things that are going to prepare me for that next thing? And middle schoolers are just, they have these brains that are just like big sponges. And people talk about toddlers. They're nothing compared to middle schoolers. It is the absolutely best time to be able to start this journey with them. I'm all about fun. I want to see kids have fun. And I think if you look back into your own experiences, you will find that some of the best learnings you ever got was when you were having fun.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So that's where we have to, start. And we also have to help kids understand and learn about what they're good at, because an awful lot of kids don't get that opportunity either.
No, they don't.
So we work with kids to figure that out while they're in middle school, and then we give them opportunities to test and try things out while they're in high school.
Great. Well, so how are some of the ways that you can help kids kind of be exposed to things that they might be interested in? What do you do?
So one of the opportunities that we allow kids to use is called FutureScape. And everything we do at ASA is free. So kids can do all of these experiences on their own entirely for free. What FutureScape does is it allows kids to actually point to the things that they're good at and the things that interest them. And then it shows them a whole host of careers that they could absolutely pursue about those things. What's really neat about it is the fact that a lot of kids will think, well, I want to be a movie star. I want to be an actress or an actor. But then they find out that when they go and they look within that career, they find that there are all kinds of people who contribute to being an actress or an actor, between set design, production, a whole host of things, you know, just dressing people for stage, all are parts of that. And they really get a chance to discover what that is like, up to and including following someone, like the day in the life of a costume designer. You can do that on FutureScape.
Really? That's amazing.
Yes. But we also have other experiences, something called Evolve Me, which lets people, actually young people, test and try things. So they may want to interview with someone who has actually been an actress, or they might want to interview and figure out, well, how am I going to go and get this first job anyway? Or maybe I really want to figure out how I want to see if I can really learn Python so that I could go and actually work for a company that has, you know, coding as one of its bases. There are all kinds of things that allow students to do that. But we don't stop there. We work with other nonprofits and with school systems to integrate some of these things into systems. And what I really like to talk about a lot is some of the successes we've had with schools integrating career exploration into seventh and eighth grade, and what it does for helping young people take the next steps, even in high school. When I talk to parents about this, I am always saying, it starts with you. the more parents encourage their sons and daughters to go out and explore and not like be sitting back, but exploring what is possible, kids want relevance. So to be able to have parents be able to kind of show them a way or encourage, I don't care how crazy it might seem, but to encourage their sons and daughters to go out and try some things. One of the things that we also have, we have video experiences where, I don't know how old your children are, but in my household, my grandson lived with me for quite some time. He would sit and watch videos of kids doing things that he could be doing. And I never could understand, why would you watch someone watching this video game? Why are you watching them play?
Yeah.
But anyway, he would do that. And what we found is we created like 26 different videos of all kinds of things. And one of my favorites is this young woman who was trying to convince her parents that she wants to be a gamer.
Okay.
And so this video is all about how she figured this out, the things that she went and explored and did in order to come up with this, and that she wanted them to give her a try. They let her take that experience on because they were involved in the process with her. And they were encouraging her to go exploring. What's the worst that can happen? She hates it or she loves it, or, you know, there's some good outcome here. In high school, we also look for helping kids be able to do that testing and trying that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to go out and do an apprenticeship or an internship while in high school opens up an entirely new world. And again, if you don't try something, how do you know?
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the big issues in our overall school system is that kids don't get that time to really go and explore things. You know, I think about at our schools, we free up the afternoons for kids to go work on life skills development. And once they get into high school, they can go work on projects. And I was just talking to one of our students the other day who is interested in cancer, and she wanted to understand, you know, how cancer and epigenetics might work. And I think if she had been in a traditional school, she might have thought, well, I guess I go to medical school and that's when I'll kind of learn more about this. And instead, she's had the time during her high school years to be able to go and interview experts and learn more about this and get internships in medical fields. And she's actually launched a documentary that's coming out tomorrow that will be,
wow,
yeah, about cancer. And I think of her as such a great example of when kids have the time and the freedom to go pursue things they think they're interested in, they learn so much. And you know what else? We often find we'll have kids who will go get an apprenticeship or an internship or go into what we call, we'll have them do 2-week kind of sprints where they go down a rabbit hole. And they come out of the 2 weeks and they go, oh, it turns out I don't think I like this at all, right? And I think, aren't you glad you found that out now as a freshman in high school and not when you already picked your major,
right,
to go to college? Because you're like, I guess this is what I think I want to do. And so I love the idea and the creativity of what you're saying with regard to helping expose kids. And I just went on, and parents, you got to go check this out. I just went on to their FutureScape website and it is super cool. They've got the ability to basically ask some questions to kind of find what do you like. And you guys are doing a great job with being very tech forward and engaging for young people. I said that my birth date was 2007, so I was lying by just a little bit because I wanted to channel what my 16-year-old daughter might be getting. But it's really cool to be able to give kids that space and opportunity to like to try on different ideas. And even more importantly, to dream about what's possible, right?
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think the thing about it is everything that we do in the digital space is designed with young people. We don't take a step without our focus groups right there with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say some of the things that they come up with is certainly not what would have been my first choice. But I have to tell you, they are wildly popular.
Uh-huh.
We have over 15 million kids on our platforms.
Wow.
So they like it. They like it.
That's fantastic. And is it an app that they can download or do they go on to websites? How's the best way for
kids? They just go on to the website. It's on a platform.
Onto the website.
Yeah.
Okay. That's super exciting. Well, that's a really cool thing. I'm going to need to share that with my audience because I think it's fun to do. Now, one of the things in the intro, what we kind of talked about in the intro is the idea of crisis proofing our kids. Tell me what you mean when you think about crisis proofing our kids for their futures.
Sure. So I recently wrote a book. It was released last fall called Crisis Proofing Today's Learners. And why I wrote it is because we have really an epidemic of young people leaving high school without a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have too many young people who are going to college, not really knowing why they're there. We have others who decide that they're not going to go to college because they really don't have that kind of pathway forward. Or, heaven forbid, they start college, they realize they don't know what they're doing there, they drop out, then they have debt, and they're trying to figure out how to make this whole thing work. So if you think about all of those young people, I mean, we right now have 5.5 million young people who are called disconnected. They're not anywhere. Where are they? What are they doing? To me, we have to do something to help them figure out what is next for them. Not only does it help them, it helps the economy, it helps all of us.
Yeah, so we're talking about young people who aren't in school and they're also not necessarily gainfully employed. Is that what you're kind of saying? They're just sort of floating.
Right.
And they're out doing who knows what. Okay, that's interesting.
Yep. And so why I wrote the book and why I think that we are trying to crisis-proof young people is the fact that we need to add more certainty to what is happening to young people as they leave school. Even if, and I'm not saying, you know, we have to pick a career when you're 12 years old. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to be able to identify those things that will help a young person succeed and plan for a future. And because of the fact, and the other reason why I talk about crisis proofing is that things are changing so rapidly. Look at what has happened to us in just the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had a global pandemic that no one was prepared for, that really played havoc with many of our school systems, which left an awful lot of young people behind, and they are still trying to figure out how to make up for that learning loss. It is really incumbent upon us to figure out ways to help young people figure out what comes next, no matter what.
Yeah. And schools really aren't doing a good job of that. They're not giving kids the space and opportunity to find that intersection of their talents and their passions. So I'm happy to hear that there's organizations like yours that are giving kids that place to kind of dream. You know, one thing we do, we work with Ukrainian refugee students in Eastern Europe who have not had school and don't have a school to go to. We put them on our two-hour learning platform, but when we onboard the students, we'll do an in-person event, and that's when we give them their computer or their iPad and kind of get them trained on what two-hour learning looks like. But the first thing we do when we get there is we have them do a vision exercise, right? To think about what is it that you would like to do? Like, where could you see yourself in 10 years, in 15 years? And when we were first putting together this program, there was a little bit of question from the people in Eastern Europe that we were working with through these refugee services. They're like, you got to understand, these kids, they don't have schools to go to. Some of them are orphans because their parents are gone or their dad's fighting. You know, they're just trying to figure out where they're going to go the next day. And you want them to do some vision exercise. And we came back with the idea that, well, in order to get a kid connected with why it is that they want to learn math and why they want to learn English today, we need to have something bigger, right? Some sort of a vision that they're experiencing that they go, gosh, there could be something beyond and above what it is that they're just thinking about with regard to their immediate needs. And it's been a really, really powerful exercise that we've done with these kids when they come into our program, because suddenly they do see a connection by what they're doing that day and what they eventually want to do when they're in a more stable environment. What kind of results do you hear about from these kids who engage in your platforms and start, experimenting and kind of understanding like, oh, maybe I like this or maybe I'm good at this?
We get an awful lot of commentary from the kids who use these platforms.
Uh-huh.
I think that it is a really good overarching generalization, I will say, that every kid that we talk to says that they don't get the kind of career exploration that they need to get while in school. And I do want to mention something about schools, because there are an awful lot of forward-looking teachers that are incorporating many of these things into their school systems.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply not a universal. It's simply not something that everybody is embracing.
That is true. And I think there are so many teachers out there who are doing their best to try to provide some of this more experiential learning opportunities and open kids up.
Yep.
But, you know, again, these teachers are tasked with such an impossible job, right, of trying to connect with every single student and understand what's that interest they have and how could we ignite that flame of interest into something, you know, more directional. So it's a tough problem to do.
Indeed.
You know, we're going to talk more in our next episode about, you know, getting kids future ready and all that. But what's your advice that you have for parents when they're thinking about, okay, what can I do to help my kid kind of prepare for their future? Obviously, engaging in your platforms, going onto your website right there is fun enough. I know what I'm going to be doing after we hang up. I'm going to play around some more on that. But what are the things that you encourage parents to do?
I think one of the things that parents have to do is really get involved with this school system. There are an awful lot of forward-thinking school systems that are really trying to integrate some of the career exploration, some of the testing and trying that I've been talking about into their systems.
Mm-hmm.
Parents have a big voice. They don't realize what a big voice they have, but if they take the time to attend a PTO, to go to school, a school committee meeting, and really voice the things that they are looking for, it makes a difference. And obviously, I will say again and again and again, parents are the absolute best cheerleaders.
Yes, they are.
To be able to encourage and have their sons and daughters not be afraid to try something, even if they fail.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's go do it. Let's go try it.
I think that is always the best kind of attitude we have. And I think instead of training kids to think they should steer away from something that they might not be good at, it's like, go try it and see and learn more about what it is. So I love that communication. I love the energy you give, and I'm excited to continue the conversation. Are you good with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Well, that wraps up this episode of Future of Education. Thanks so much to Jean Eddy. She's the CEO of American Student Assistance for joining us. Tomorrow, we're going to discuss how we can facilitate experiential learning and career readiness education. If you can't wait till our next episode and you want to learn more about Jean, which by the way, I totally recommend, you need to go to ASA.org. Encourage your kids to go around and play on some of these website apps that they are encouraging kids to discover their interests with. I just did it while we were in this podcast. It's really cool. And you can also head over to futureofeducationpod.com. We have summaries of our episodes and contact information for our guests. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. My Instagram handle is at 2hourlearning, or you can search on YouTube under Future of Education. If you haven't subscribed yet, we're going to publish a podcast episode regularly. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app. I'll be back in your feed tomorrow. So that's all for today. But until next time, remember, kids are limitless. Our job is to help unlock their potential.